Father God, we thank you for your word and ask you to bless your word to our hearts. We ask you to change our lives, the destination of our very existence. God, may it go from glory to glory. And for those who are still destined for hell and they don't know it, God, shake them out of their malaise. Wake them up. Today may be the day of salvation for some. God, help us to learn the lessons you would have for us. Holy Spirit, this is your place and time. Please take over the service and you teach it. We need you to do this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to tell you of my experiences athletically. When I was just a wee lad, my father put us in baseball school. My father was a AAA baseball player with the Yankee farm system. He played alongside in the 50s and 60s, some of the greatest players of all time on their way up. He never made it to the bigs, and he always dreamed of having us get to the bigs, the show. He knew that baseball was going to take off, and it was that season from the mid-60s to the mid-70s where the salaries of baseball players went from the hundreds of thousands to the millions. He was right. And he sent us to baseball school, and we learned how to run, and we learned how to throw, and we learned how to field pop-ups. And I thought, oh man, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. Then I played street football when I was in my late teens, and the practices were grueling, man. We'd have these helmets, and we'd smash each other's heads together, and we'd walk away with broken arms, and I tore the ACL in my knee when I was 18, and that was like the hardest training I'd ever experienced. Up till the time I was 40, and I started doing jiu-jitsu. And I learned what anaerobic exercise is. And I remember the first few practices, I was like, what am I doing? I'm 40 years old, I have a wife at home, I'm never doing this again. And then the adrenaline and all of the hormones and pheromones would flood your body again, and I can't wait for the next class. This is the hardest thing ever. Then my son started wrestling. Oh, actually, there's another one. I used to go to this judo. There was a judo place right around the corner from the jiu-jitsu. And judo and jiu-jitsu are very similar. Judo is the takedowns, and jiu-jitsu is the ground fighting. And they used to be combined, and they were split by the Brazilians. Thank you. And I went to this judo training. It was an Olympic judo center. And I thought to myself, this is even harder than jiu-jitsu. I cannot believe that these guys do this. Where doing jiu-jitsu is like doing squats. Doing judo is like doing squats while you're doing curls. I thought, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And then my son started wrestling. I started to get to know wrestlers. And I went to a couple of his practices and watched what he did. And then I started watching wrestling practices all over the country. These athletes, they were insane. And I thought, this is the hardest thing I've ever seen any human being do. I couldn't get through a whole practice. And I'm in pretty decent shape. I've been an athlete my whole life. But wrestlers, they're superhuman. It's the pinnacle. Pinnacle athletically. Now, most of them, by the time they're 40, could hardly walk. Their backs are broken. Their necks are messed up. But they're superhuman. I had a friend of mine when we were growing up. He joined the Merchant Marines. And he would tell me about boot camp. So it wasn't so bad. Another friend of mine who joined the Coast Guard. Because remember when I was Manny's age? When I was Diana's age? We didn't care about the service. It's like boot camp, man. Boot camp will kick your butt. Boot camp, man. Basic training, man. Hell. So we heard that Coast Guard, it wasn't bad. Man, if you join the Coast Guard, basic training's not bad. And then I had another friend joined the Navy. He said, man, boot camp and Navy's tough, man. Then another friend during the Air Force. It's not so bad. But I had another friend join the army. Said, and here's where I heard it first. Basic training was tough, but it's not like Marine training.
Well, what?
Marine Corps training, man. It's the worst. Worst of the worst. We saw movies, we watched movie, Full Metal Jacket. Anybody ever see Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
We're like, oh man, that's what I want. But I don't want it. Best of the best of the best. And then we heard you can become a Green Beret if you're in the Army, and their training is insane. Or you can become a SEAL. Oh, man. SEAL training's crazy if you live past Hell Week. Then you get to go to basic training. We heard all about these things. We did. But there is a training that exceeds them all. Now, keep this in mind, please. If you're here and you're like, you're not athletic, so you don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to athletics. You're not, a service member, so you don't know what I'm talking about. And you're like, you don't understand. I took 8 classes in college and all this. You're right. I don't know that, and in no way am I belittling that, because I've seen some of my friends who went to college and made success out of their life, and they worked their butts off, and they took gigantic course loads and studied hard, and some of them passed the bar and became doctors. And it's like, so, yeah, I don't know what that's about, because I barely graduated high school. So I still salute you, but I don't know. But there is a training beyond that, beyond it all. Let me tell you what's happened to Manny and what's happened to Diana. Let me tell you what happened to Ron. Things that we don't understand. If you've ever seen that movie, A Few Good Men, I think what we loved and hated about that movie was, what's that dude's name? Who? Jack Nicholson. We didn't like his character. We didn't like his character in that movie because we loved him. That's the guy we did want on the wall. And the things that he said, you can't handle the truth. Who's going to watch that wall? These walls need to be guarded. Who's going to guard these walls? Men with guns and that whole rap that he does there. It's like, yeah, he's kind of right. Shouldn't we leave a guy like that alone? This might scare some of you. But you know what Manny has been trained to do? To kill you. He's a murderer. He's a killer. Not a murderer, I'm sorry. He's a killer. He's a trained killer. What makes the grass grow? Blood, blood, blood. That's what we need. That's what we want. Things that we don't understand. Now, you might be sitting here going, dude, where are you going? Watch where I'm going. Verse 1, chapter 6, the book of 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Listen, Diana, what are you going to do with your life now that you have all this training? How many months of training has it been? It's about 5 or 6 months since we saw you last, right? 8 months. Now where are you going? Okinawa, Japan. What neighborhood are you from? Haiti, but where'd you live here? Pompano girl going to Okinawa, Japan. Hallelujah. Trained to kill. Trained in intelligence. Trained to protect. Trained to serve. Here, the apostle says, you who have accepted Christ as your Savior, what are you doing with this grace? Let's take a gigantic eraser and erase the United States just for a minute. Let's find out what's going on in China right now, Christians. Well, they have internment camps for you. You go to China and you want to preach the gospel, you want to proclaim to be a Christian and not a ward of the state, not a worshiper of China, you will be placed in a re-education internment camp. I'm not talking about 100 years ago. I'm talking about now. Let's say you want to go to Syria. Syria's a wonderful place. Why don't you do that? You go to Syria as a Christian, and you get to Syria, and you got your house, and you got your family, and you go, where's everybody going? Everybody's going to the mosque over there. There's their carpet. There's a call to prayer. Well, I'm a Christian. Oh, you are, huh? Well, on your way home from church, you'll find out that your house has been burnt down. They've probably taken your daughters and re-educated them. And I'm not going to tell you because of the young people in here what re-education to a radical Muslim means. What are we doing with the grace of God that's been given to us? That is the question that the Apostle Paul has. For he says, and you ready? Here's the amazing thing, right? Does that sound like a sales pitch to any of you guys? Because it doesn't sound like a sales pitch to me. How many of you guys can't wait tomorrow to start? Man, I want to go to wrestling. Are you kidding me? How many of you guys want to join the Marine Corps next week? Man! No, I'll pass. Thank you. But this is exactly what the Apostle Paul did. He said, let me tell you what it is to be a Christian. And then he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. Now. Take up arms. Be serious. Be ready to die. And I'm going to tell you why Christian training is worse than any of those other trainings. You ready? Because everything that you do to be a wrestler, to be a jiu-jitsu player, to be a judo player, to be a baseball player, a football player, hockey player, U.S. Marine, Army, Navy, Air Force, I don't care. Everything is so you could be strong to accomplish and conquer a goal set before you. And all Christ does is train you to pick up your cross, die to yourself, and follow him. And when somebody spits in your face, you say, thank you, sir, may I have another. When he smacks you, you say, God, you got this side now. When he makes you carry his junk for a mile, you're going to carry it an extra mile. Christ was on the cross. Or should I say, before he was on the cross, the apostle Peter took his sword out and said, now we fight. And the Lord Jesus did something that I just can't stand. It's so against everything in me. He put his hand over Peter's sword. He put it down back at his side and he said, put your sword away, Peter. Put your sword away. Do you not think that if I asked my Father, he would send 100 legion of angels here? For this reason, I came. Yes, I have nothing but respect for killers who are defending life. They are true ministers of God, according to Scripture. The sentry does not bear the sword for nothing. The same apostle who wrote this wrote that. But the ultimate sacrifice of Christ is your own life. No greater love hath this than one who would lay down his life for his friends. I lay my life down for you, he says. The Lord Jesus sat on that cross not because he had to, not even because he wanted to, because it was the only way. Sacrificially gave his life up when he didn't have to. That's a crazy thing. My little granddaughter, oh man, Does that kid need a beating? Whew! 2 years old, and she about to tell you. She walked by yesterday. She was at my house. You know, Austin, Elena, and Arlen are up in Chattanooga visiting some family. She walked by. We just want to spend the day with her. We're not going to see her for a week. That's like killer to us. She's at her house. And says, Arlen. She walked like this. Arlen. And it's that ability to smash her that I possess that I don't do, because it breaks my little heart. She kicked my wife's butt about a week and a half ago. She was acting up at the house, and my wife promised, God bless you, Sarah, you're welcome. And she was acting up, and my wife said, oh, don't worry, I'm going to start spanking her. Day one, you got to spank her. You got to stop spoiling her. She's becoming a terrible kid. My wife's on it. She gets that spoon out. She said, I will pop that booty of yours. She looks up and she goes, I want to go home. I was like, I told you don't hit her. I told you. My wife is like crying. You're going to spank her? I ain't going to spank her. I got six other kids I spank. I don't spank grandkids. I spoil grandkids. I told you not to spank them, child. I want to go home. I want my mom, Daddy. I told you. Took her for a walk. Said, come on, let's leave. Let's leave mean old Ray Ray. Not lying, I did that. But it's that strength that you possess that you don't utilize that makes everything the ultimate. The ultimate. Continuing, and I'll tell you why he says this. Behold, again, the latter part of verse 2, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not a good sales pitch, Paul. If you want people to come Christians, you got to tell them, Like the preachers do nowadays. You got to tell them how great they're going to. Hey, look, God's going to take care of everything. Your life's going to be charmed from now on. You're going to be rich and happy. You're not going to fight with your wife anymore. Oh, my goodness. Come on. Guys, who wants to accept Christ as their Savior? Come on, just say, Jesus. Can we have a worship song, please? Nothing about blood. No, that's disgusting. The Apostle Paul was about blood and guts, man. Listen how the Apostle Paul put this. He says, in your training, this is what I have experienced. Verse 3, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And now he explains to them what he's experienced in ministry. Now, watch this. If you've been saved more than 5 years, please just lift your hand. Okay. If you've been saved more than 10 years, lift your hand. If you've been saved more than 15 years, more than 20 years, okay. There's a few of us in here that have been walking with the Lord, walking with the Lord. I'm not talking about, hey, I accepted Christ, my Savior. I'm talking about walking with the Lord in ministry 20 years. The Apostle Paul will now tell you what you've been through as basic training. Now, basic training, how many weeks, man? 13 weeks of basic training. Well, I got 25 years of basic training in with the Lord. And right about the time I'm graduated, I die and I go to heaven. Everything is basic training to Christ. Everything. Basic training. You ready? Now, Paul will lose some of us. As a matter of fact, by the end, he'll lose most of us. But here you go, Christian that's been in ministry. This is what you've gone through, if it's real. Christian who's not been in ministry, This is what awaits you if it's real. Again, verse 4, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Sound good? Now, you could circle every in you see there, and you could write next to it, if you have a space in your Bible, write in is the physical. Christian minister, this is what your life is going to look like if it's real. In much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepness, in fasting. That's not the fun I signed up for. That's not what I expected. What happened to in lots of money, in lots of happiness, in lots of laughing, in good health, be in good health. No. And you know how we get there? Let's talk about the emotional now. We skip the ins, now let's go to the buys. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Okay, first is the what, then is the how. What? Sleeplessness, tumults, all these things. How? By purity. Why does that one escape so many people? Why is that so hard for so many pastors, for so many ministers? I have needs. No, you have desires. Did anything in that first thing say in my desires? No. By knowledge. How do you get knowledge? You gotta read the Bible. Let's go back to the first verse. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. What is it to receive the grace of God in vain? Yet to not utilize what you've been given as a tool. Imagine you become a mechanic, you walk in and you go, hey, where's my tools? Oh, you gotta get that lug nut off with your hands. We don't have good tools here. I'm going to Snap-on and get some tools. Okay. Well, here, you get your tools by knowledge. Ready? What else? Long-suffering. That's it. I'm a man. You're not going to talk to me like that. Oh, I tried to help that person. They didn't want help. Screw them. That's not long-suffering. Long-suffering. By kindness. By the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Some of you say, well, I was baptized in the water. You weren't baptized in the Spirit? What is it to be baptized in the Spirit? You don't know? How could you not know what it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't remember you teaching on that. Well, didn't you read about it in the Word of God? Didn't you see these guys, the flames of fire and the tongues, speaking in tongues, words of prophecy? You never seen that? Oh, I'm sorry, you must not know that we have a 7 o'clock service here designed specifically to worship the Holy Spirit. You're busy, I understand. By sincere love. The word for love there, anybody? Agape. That's giving love to those who do not deserve it. Well, that's... I think the Lord Jesus said it like this. So what credit is it to you if you love those who love you? Don't heathens even do the same? So now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lend, hoping to get nothing in return. Well, forget this message. What kind of church is this? By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. Yes, sometimes you guys will think of me, oh, Pastor Ryan. Sometimes you will think of me as Pastor Ryan. Honor and dishonor, all at the same time. Just depends on what day you catch me. And it depends on what day I catch you. And oh, I catch you, don't I? By evil report and good report. Whew. And here's how we were going to be looked at. As deceivers and yet true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. The in, by, and as of ministry. There it is, guys. You can read it 1,000 times, and you'll see something new every single time you read it. You will see where you have fallen short, where you have succeeded, what you still have to strive for. Paul is saying, as a Christian, if you want this training, this is what this training is. In, by, as. In, by, as. And here, the Apostle Paul does something he rarely does. Watch what he says here. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to my children. I added the my, but that's the implication. I'm speaking to you like my kids. You also be open. Stop playing games. What are you doing with the grace of God given to you? Showing up to church once a month or so? There's people here that need you. I need you. We need you. Not the salvation message you were hoping for, huh? So how many of you guys here are ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Right on. There's a special on YouTube. It's about the 2008 or 9 wrestling season of Iowa State. I think it's called To Win is to Live, to Lose is to Die. Watch that special, and you will never want to wrestle your whole life. There's a scene in it where the guy goes down and shoots for the double, and the guy turns his arm, and the guy just completely hyperextends his arm. Bah, 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 it comes out. The guy walks up. Man, the coach is like, boom, puts it back, wrap it up. Wrap it up. Qualifiers next week, man. There's no way I'm missing qualifiers. Your arm just was broken backwards. Wrap it up. These are insane human beings. What I'm saying to you, they're superhuman. Their training has made them animals. Their strength is nothing you've ever experienced. Their mental toughness. There's a man named Dan Gable. He said, once you've wrestled, everything else in life is easy. What do you think Paul just been through? Once you've been through what Paul's been through, you know how easy it was to love somebody? Do you understand that growing up, here's the channel of love. You ready for the channel of love? As a child, you grow up and your parents give you everything you could possibly ask, need, want, desire. And you, by the time you're 7 or 8, you start to use that love against them. Just like my granddaughter's doing it too. Give me a kiss. I want Robbie Pop. trade you a lollipop for a kiss. Then you turn 12, 13, and you start to hurt yourself because you know it will hurt them. If you're a teenager, you tell your parents, I'm going to do this. Like you're going to hurt yourself like it hurts them. And you know it does, so you do. And I say the same thing to all teenagers. Like, you know what the problem with this kid is? You got to surround him with people who don't care about him. Once he's in school, people are like, should I send my kid to public school? Well, every kid's different, but it's probably better than private school. It's probably a whole lot better than Christian school. Why is that? Man, because I just can't trust it. Man, a Christian school? What the heck is that? You teach somebody how to be a Christian? God will teach you how to be a Christian. How? By the ins, the buys, and the asses. So I put my kid in public school. And I don't know where your kid's at, but it certainly wouldn't be as bad as putting him in a Christian school. And then the kid is surrounded by people who don't give a rat's butt for him, who don't care one bit about him. And they come home with a little bit of appreciation for mom's home-cooked hamburgers. And then life gets to them. They've been in a relationship or two with somebody who told them they loved them but didn't. They either cheated on them, beat them, stole from them, lied to them, and then they learn pain. And then you really start to appreciate what you had. You fall back in love with your parents. You wish you didn't ruin your relationship with your brother or your sister or your cousin. Then the craziest thing happens in your 40s. Here's what happened to me in my 40s. I've been through so much nonsense with people, ministry and family. It's just easy to love people now. Just to take them just how they are. Oh yeah, that person, man, he's a greedy jerk. I don't care, I like greedy jerks. Oh, that girl, she's a tramp or whatever. That's just my kind of people, man. That's I'm a tramp, so, whatever. It's a crazy thing that happens, isn't it? Here, the Apostle Paul, after his training for 30-some-odd years, he says to these Corinthians, man, I just love you guys, man. I'm opening my heart to you. I'm trying to tell you, don't use the gift of God's grace in vain. I'm opening my heart wide open to you. Open your heart to me. Don't run from me. And then he says something to them that I don't know why he says it, but I assume it's the Holy Spirit, not just upon the Apostle Paul during this particular writing, but also upon your life right now. Are you ready to take a complete left turn? Because out of left field, the next part of this message comes, and I don't know how to connect it to except the fact that they're in the same chapter. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? He says this to them, after telling them, I'm opening my heart to you. Please open my heart. Open your heart to me. I have something to tell you. And I know it's the hardest thing for Christians. Don't yoke yourself with somebody who doesn't believe in God. What does that mean, yoke? It means married, business, anything that will make you. It was 1998. I got out of prison in 1998. I got saved in 1994. Went to prison for just over a year. I got out, and a buddy of mine says, bro, let's open up a store in Miami Beach. And I was like, man, that's an idea. Man, after being away for a year, I just couldn't wait to exercise my mind and do something. And then I went to church, because now I'm a Christian, young as I may be. I just got out of prison, serious about the things of the Lord. And the pastor taught on this section of Scripture. And he said, don't be unequally yoked. And as soon as I heard it, I went like this. Not listening, not talking to me. Here's why. He doesn't mean me. He means somebody else. I know what it is. He's talking to this guy. He's not talking to me. He's talking to that girl. He's talking about marriage. He's not talking to me. Not talking to me. Yes, I'm talking to you. You that is here that is about to get into a relationship with a non-believer. You that is here that's about to get into a business with a non-believer. The Apostle Paul says to you, don't do it. You'll regret it horribly. Why? Why? No, but listen. Wait a second. But weren't you not a Christian and Joy was a Christian when you met? Yes. And that worked out okay. You want to ask her that same question? Listen, I say sincerely to you. I say this sincerely to you, and I'm telling you right now, ladies, please tune in here. I know my wife is going to get mad at me for telling you this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know I'm Plan B. That's just a miserable place to be. She could have done a lot better than me. I was not a Christian. She should not have stayed with me. She should have dumped me long ago. I treated her horribly. I made children, and she married me when I was not a Christian. Oh, it's okay. I claim to be a Catholic. Never went to Catholic church. And I'm standing here before you, Plan B, honored that I can have a woman like that. But I know she could have done better. You can clap all you want, it don't matter, because it's still the same. I'm Plan B, guys. Ladies, you don't want Plan B. You know what this woman puts up with me? Do you have any idea the baggage that I carry around? No, you don't. Some of y'all that work around me do. You're like, holy crap, that guy's a real pastor. Yeah, that whole pastor thing, I didn't call me pastor. You called me pastor. I'm just doing the best I can day to day. I got a lot of baggage. A lot of death. A lot of tumult. A lot of distresses. A lot of stripes. Imprisonments. Sleeplessness. Fastings. So whoever this message is for, when I started that store, it was the greatest thing that I ever thought. Gave God the glory, put a Bible out at that store. He said, oh, don't worry, man, you run the store. I know you're a Christian. Well, problem is, things didn't go so good at the store. Rent was real high. Business didn't happen the way I thought. It's very seasonal down there. All these things that I never expected. Guess what happened? Oh, tell them we were closed. Don't pay the taxes. Don't do it. I'm like, dude, I can't do that, man. That's not how I live. This is my business, too. It's my money up for this store. You're going to do what I say. Like, hey, why didn't I listen to Pastor Bob? Listen, I still got scars in my back from that store, and we closed it before 2000. I still get notices from the IRS. Worldwide, man. Leave me alone. Chris, why didn't you pay that bill? I ain't paying it. I told you I wasn't paying. Do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. For what does light have to do with darkness? You want to raise your kids in loving fear of the Lord? You know what my parents' motto was? Let them believe what they want. Let them do what they want. I want to raise free spirits. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. Do yourself a favor. Don't raise free spirits. Raise good Christian kids who understand the power of death is life. Saying no to your passions and desires is power. Not yes to them. If it feels good, do it. Follow your heart. That's how I was raised. Well, do you love her? Doesn't matter whether I love her or not. Doesn't matter whether you love him or not. You hear me? I hope you do. Otherwise, I'll see you in my office in about a year, and you'll tell me what's become of your life, And I'm not going to say it, but I'll be thinking it the whole time. I told you so. What agreement, verse 16, here's where we close, has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. He's quoting from the book of Jeremiah. Therefore, now quoting from the book of Isaiah, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Close your Bible. That's a chapter you can't just, it's like a potato chip. You just can't eat one. You got to read that thing over and over again. Get those ins and buys and hows, all get them all running around your brain, and then ask yourself this question. Am I ready for this life? You know, Marines have a song. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we will fight our country's battles on the land and on the sea. Don't remember the rest of it, but I remember that part. We have songs that we sing too. Drew, why don't you come up and lead us in one of our songs? You can bring the old man with you. That's his old man, not my old man, my old man. Come on, let's go. Freaking army, guys.
You know what army means?
Right. Again, on behalf of the United States of America, you who have served in any capacity as a first responder, as a Coast Guard, Air Force, Airman, Seaman, Marine, Soldier, bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching my butt so I can come up here and do this ridiculousness, preaching a message of death. And you guys bring life. Thank you. Tell Tyler we were talking about him today. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know what it is to surrender your life to the Lord, today was the ultimate sales pitch in honesty. I can't promise you life. I ain't promise you nothing except you'll go to heaven. God will bless your journeys with peace, even though they might go through the land of darkness sometimes. You'll see the highest mountaintops and the lowest valleys. You'll bleed and you'll cry. People will break your heart. You'll find the best friends that you ever imagined and the worst enemies you could ever dream of. If that sounds like fun, I'll tell you how to do that. You just tell God, God, I want to follow you. I love you and I'm sorry that I've been stupid. It's that simple. And he will fill up your heart. He will enliven your spirit. And he will use your life. You know what the crazy thing is? I'm going to warn you if you're here. You can change your mind anytime you want. But God don't change his mind. So if you make that commitment, it's final, it's done, it's sealed. And everything you do outside these doors without God will be miserable. So I just ruined your life. How's that sound? You're welcome very much. I'm ready to worship God. As co-servants, we just read, that's what the Apostle Paul, that was the first line in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As co-workers with you, we all work for Christ together. How awesome is that? I hope we do it for many years to come. I love you guys.
And oh, we'll see how great, oh, how great is our God.